"This all looks like gibberish to me," Gretchen said, looking at the documents I was showing her on my PDA. "It's like it was translated from monkey or something." "Look," I said. I pulled up a different document. "According to this, blowing up the Conclave fleet backfired. It was supposed to make the Conclave collapse and all the races start shooting at each other. Well, the Conclave is starting to collapse, but hardly any of them are actually fighting each other. They're attacking colonial union worlds instead. They really messed this up."
"If you say this is what it says, I'm going to believe you," Gretchen said. "I'm not actually finding verbs here."
I pulled up another document. "Here. This is about a Conclave leader named Nerbros Esser. He's General Gaw's main competition for leadership of the Conclave now. Gaw still doesn't want to attack the Colonial Union directly, even though we just destroyed his fleet. He still thinks the Conclave is strong enough to keep doing what it's been doing. But this Esser guy thinks the Conclave should just wipe us out, the Colonial Union, and especially us here on Roanoke, just to make the point that you don't mess with the Conclave. The two of them are fighting over control of the Conclave right now."
"Okay," Gretchen said. "But I still don't know what any of this means, Zoe. Speak not hyperese to me. You're losing me."
I stopped and took a breath. Gretchen was right. I'd spent most of the last day reading these documents, drinking coffee, and not sleeping. I was not at the peak of my communication skills, so I tried again. "The whole point of founding Roanoke Colony was to start a war," I said.
"It looks like it worked," Gretchen said.
"No," I said. "It was supposed to start a war within the Conclave. Blowing up their fleet was supposed to tear the Conclave apart from the inside. It would end the threat of this huge coalition of alien races and bring things back to the way it was before, when every race was fighting every other race. We trigger a civil war, and then we sweep in while they're all fighting and scoop up the worlds we want and come out of it all stronger than before. Maybe too strong for any one race or even a small group of races to square off against. That was the plan."
"But you're telling me it didn't work that way," Gretchen said.
"Right," I said. "We blew up the fleet and got the Conclave members fighting, but who they're fighting is us. The reason we didn't like the Conclave is that it was 400 against one, the one being us. Well, now it's still 400 against one, except now no one's listening to the one guy who is keeping them from engaging in total war against us."
"Us here on Roanoke," Gretchen said.
"Us everywhere," I said. "The Colonial Union, humans, us. This is happening now," I said. "Colonial Union worlds are being attacked, not just the new colony worlds, the ones that usually get attacked, even the established colonies, the ones that haven't been attacked in decades, are getting hit. And unless General Gaw gets them all back in line, these attacks are going to keep happening. They're going to get worse."
"I think you need a new hobby," Gretchen said, handing me back my PDA. "Your new one here is really depressing."
"I'm not trying to scare you," I said. "I thought you would want to know about all this."
"You don't have to tell me," Gretchen said. "You need to tell your parents, or my dad, someone who actually knows what to do about all this."
"They already know," I said. "I heard John and Jane talking about it last night after he got back from Phoenix Station. Everyone there knows the colonies are under attack. No one's reporting it. The Colonial Union has a lockdown on the news, but everyone's talking about it."
"What does that leave for Roanoke?" Gretchen said.
"I don't know," I said. "But I know we don't have a lot of pull right now."
"So we're all going to die," Gretchen said. "Well, gee, thanks, Zoe. I'm really glad to know it."
"It's not that bad yet," I said. "Our parents are working on it. They'll figure it out. We're not all going to die."
"Well, you're not going to die, at least," Gretchen said.
"What does that mean?" I asked.
"If things really go swirling, the Oban will swoop in and take you out of here," Gretchen said. "Although if all of the Colonial Union is really under attack, I'm not sure where you're going to end up going. But the point is, you have an escape route. The rest of us don't."
I stared at Gretchen. That's incredibly unfair, I said. I'm not going anywhere, Gretchen.
Why? Gretchen said. I'm not angry at you that you have a way out, Zoe. I'm envious. I've been through one attack. Just one missile got through, and it didn't even explode properly. And it still did incredible damage and killed someone I care about and everyone in his family. When they come for us for real, we don't have a chance.
You still have your training, I said.
I'm not going to be able to engage in single combat with a missile, Zoe, Gretchen said, annoyed. Yes, if someone decides to have a landing party here, I might be able to fight them off for a while. But after what we've done to that Conclave fleet, do you think anyone is really going to bother? They're just going to blow us up from the sky. You said it yourself. They want to be rid of us, and you're the only one that has a chance of getting out of here.
I already said I'm not going anywhere, I said.
Jesus, Zoe, Gretchen said. I love you, I really do, but I can't believe you're actually that dumb. If you have a chance to go, go. I don't want you to die. Your mom and dad don't want it. The Open will hack a path through all the rest of us to keep you from dying. I think you should take the hint.
I get the hint, I said. But you don't understand. I've been the sole survivor, Gretchen. It's happened to me before. Once is enough for any lifetime. I'm not going anywhere. Hickory and Dickory want you to leave Roanoke, Dad said to me after he had paged me with his PDA. Hickory and Dickory were standing in the living room with him. I was clearly coming in on some sort of negotiation between them, and it was also clearly about me. The tone of Dad's voice was light enough that I could tell he was hoping to make some point to the Oban, and I was pretty sure I knew what the point was. Are you and Mom coming? I said. No, Dad said. This I expected. Whatever was going to happen with the colony, both John and Jane would see it through, even if it meant they would die with it. It's what they expected of themselves as colony leaders, as former soldiers, and as human beings. Then to hell with that, I said. I looked at Hickory and Dickory when I said it. Told you, Dad said to Hickory.
You didn't tell her to come away, Hickory said.
Go away, Zoe, Dad said.
This was said with such a sarcastic delivery that even Hickory and Dickory couldn't miss it. I gave a less than entirely polite response to that, and then to Hickory and Dickory, and then, for good measure, to the whole idea that I was something special to the Open, because I was feeling saucy, and also because I was tired of the whole thing. If you want to protect me, I said to Hickory, then protect this colony, protect the people I care about.
We cannot, Hickory said. We are forbidden to do so.
Then you have a problem, I said, because I'm not going anywhere, and there's nothing you or anyone else can do about it. And then I left, dramatically, partly because I think that was what Dad was expecting, and partly because I was done saying what I wanted to say on the matter. Then I went to my room and waited for Dad to call me again. Because whatever was going on between him and Hickory and Dickory, it wasn't over when I stomped out of the room. And like I said, whatever it was clearly about me.